by Bob Johnson Insurance, celebrating over 55 years as an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, offering over 15 different types of insurance to cover every aspect of life. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can reach Bob Johnson Insurance at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
When it comes to hating Israel, we'll learn sometimes the attacks aren't just physical. It might not be physical, but are we metaphorically sleepwalking into a one-world economy? Hate is spreading, and so is a new fungus, and hopefully so is a new survey when it comes to supporting Israel. That's just some of what we'll see in this week's Signs of the Times, our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news, for Friday, March 28th, 2025. You can listen or watch any episode again. You can share them with a skeptical friend. You can read the articles we talk about, or you can ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net or grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who's asking, what if soy milk is just really regular milk introducing itself in Spanish? And that's Pastor Mark, who, when he was younger, was applying to be a restaurant server. The interviewer asked him why they should hire him as a waiter. Pastor Mark said, well, for starters, I bring a lot to the table. So.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's nice. I did wait tables. Actually, I did wait tables for years.
You know, when I saw that joke, I thought of you in Cracker Barrel. So I thought, anyway.
Well, I just want to say, for those at the wait tables, my heart's with you. But I'll tell you, there's something about that for me. It's like, I mean, I would have nightmares sometimes. You have dreams about you walk in and there's people you didn't finish the table or taking their check or they're mad at the manager.
You forgot to take their order.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm glad those days are beyond me, and hopefully they won't come back. But either way, we'll see. But yeah.
Very good. Okay, well, before we get into our articles, we actually have breaking news to share with our listeners who are listening live, yeah. And that is a massive earthquake over in the Orient. I couldn't remember if it was Taiwan or Thailand or where it is.
Well, yeah, it's Myanmar.
Myanmar. Where,
yeah,
okay.
I don't know where the epicenter. Myanmar is where they're talking about. In Bangkok, Thailand. It was in Thailand. They had a big building collapse in that whole area right in there. So it was massive. 7.7. But when you get anywhere close to a 7.7 earthquake, you're going to have massive.
That's big.
It is big. And remember, what popped in my mind, which always should pop in our minds, is again what the Lord said in Matthew 24, and that is you're going to see earthquakes increase. You're going to see these things happen. And remember, it talks about them not just happening, but it talks about them happening with more frequency and larger in intensity.
Yes.
Now, there's been bigger ones. There was a thing with 9-point-something one, again, that caused the Japanese tsunami and all that happened in 2004. It was 9.1. So there have been larger tsunamis, but at the same time, or larger earthquakes. But at the same time, Greg, anytime you start getting that large on earthquakes, I mean, it is a massive, massive destructive force.
It's a big deal.
It really is. And so we'll see what the details are as far as we saw the building collapses there. You can go online and see there in Thailand. But also, again, just that whole region really getting hit hard. So and we're going to see more of that.
Does it say at what local time that earthquake happened? Like, was it at night when everyone's sleeping? Or was this an office building that could have been heavily populated?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
It was the middle of the day. I didn't see the exact time.
People were out
walking around. Yeah. So, and I'm sorry to have more details on it. I just saw the headlines.
Yeah, that's okay.
Some videos. We hadn't had time to look it up that much. But I do know it wasn't the day. People were out, you know, doing their normal business. I saw one video somebody took of a high rise that had like one of those big swimming pools up on top and the water was splashing off and everything down below. I mean, it was amazing. And then seeing this other building, there was a building under construction there in Bangkok that just collapsed and came straight down, kind of like the World Trade Center buildings. It literally just came straight down like they did. And and all the big plume going, you know, like,
yes,
kind of reminded you, it was a smaller scale. But it looked almost exactly similar. It collapsed the same way.
Wow.
And sent the big cloud out the same way. It was pretty amazing. So, again, we're going to see more and more of that, the earthquakes. And I want to just remind our listeners, you know, Romans 8:22 talks about the earth groaning in the last days. And these kind of things are going to be used by people that talk about climate change. And whether or not the climate's changing or not is not the issue. The Lord's going to hold all things together. And we're going to see crazy things happen because God said so. And because the earth is groaning. So you're seeing some more earth groaning. I think it was yesterday there was a volcano exploded in Hawaii. I mean, there's a lot of stuff just happening right now that's earthwise kind of grumbling that's taking place. But there's a lot of other grumbling in the Middle East.
Yes.
And I'd like to chat about that for a minute. Before we get into articles, some interesting things that popped in again just right before the show. As a matter of fact, one of them that I was running across, and we'll get to that in a moment. But with that said, as you know, the bombing has resumed in Gaza, and there's not a whole lot of Gaza left. So every time you see these buildings go up, it's like another big pile of rubble and another big mess. There are those who say this is a fulfillment of prophecy where the Bible talks about Gaza will be completely destroyed. Joe Rosenberg's out there saying this is a fulfillment of prophecy.
Where in the Bible did it talk about Gaza?
Yeah, well, it talks about Gaza in a lot of places. Zephaniah, there's different places that talks about Gaza. It does.
Oh, interesting.
But I haven't done the research on that yet to see how comfortable I feel about that or whatever. But
we're so focused on Isaiah 17:1 in Damascus, right. I wasn't thinking about the destruction of another area.
Right, but I trust Joel Rosenberg. He's a very good biblical scholar. So I'm going to look into that, and then maybe we'll talk about it. Maybe if I remember to look that up, we'll get into it and look at it next week. But either way, you know, it's interesting because he was even saying, hey, it's going to be cleaned out. And he was saying maybe it will be rebuilt by President Trump. You know, he's kind of, I think, was the idea that he was getting at as far as what was happening there.
Yeah.
But they've got the bombing resuming there again, Greg. They've also got now the Houthis. They started attacking them again because what happened was they started shooting rockets back into Israel.
So Israel is now attacking the Houthis as well.
Well, they attacked the Houthis. Well, let me take that back. I'm sorry. Hezbollah, not Houthis. I'm getting America just attacked the Houthis again yesterday. We've got a lot of wars going on here. America went in and did another major run, I think some 30-some targets against the Houthis, like yesterday or day before. But I meant to say Hezbollah is where Israel's heading because they're striking now in Gaza again. But they've also hit
Hezbollah in the north.
Yes, up in Beirut. They're now actually striking in Beirut, which people are having a fit about that.
I'll bet they are.
But the reason being is they broke the treaty. Again, Hezbollah broke the treaty. They're firing back into Israel. Israel said, if you do this, we're coming after you. So I guarantee you, they're going wherever they are. And if they're in Beirut, they're going and they're taking them out. So now, again, but what's interesting about this, Greg, this is last time that Israel attacked anything up there, you saw Hezbollah just a barrage of rockets coming in. They're not responding that way this time, which tells us they have been greatly diminished in their ability to strike back. They don't have the rockets. They don't have the weapons. So this is kind of like interesting to see. They're not actively retaliating in a big way. Because what that means is the campaign by Israel there in the north in Lebanon against Hezbollah has been successful. And now they're going in and just kind of cleaning out more targets.
Now, do you think that, and I'm not discounting what you're saying there in terms of what Israel's been able to do to cripple them prior to this.
Right.
But do you also think that their diminished response, Hezbollah's diminished response, could be the fact that they were, as we talked about last week, fighting another war with the new Syrian government?
Yeah, but I don't think they're fighting that enough. They are.
Okay.
They are lobbing things back and forth, but they still have enough weaponry and people where they can still be going right at Israel. So I think this is an indicator
It's a very interesting soap opera, if you will, because you've got a lot of people that hate each other and doing many things at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very interesting. By the way, on the earthquake here, was it in Myanmar and Thailand is when it was, again, on March 28th. And then, again, just I'm getting more details here just to kind of at least let people know where it was. So depends on where, I guess, like I said, the videos I saw was during the daytime. So, again, I'm sure we'll get more as more and more videos come in. But back to the Middle East.
Yes.
So I'm multitasking. How about that?
Yes.
But back to not normal for a man. I'm not really good at it. But either way.
But look at how fast you're traveling around the world.
That's right. Mark. That's right. You know, the internet's real fast now. Yes. So, but again, yes. So stuff's still going on. They're still striking things in Syria. They're striking things near Damascus. The point is, things have heated up again in the Middle East. The battle's still going, and you're going to see more and more people getting upset. You're going to see Satan getting upset. So we'll have to kind of watch this. I don't know how long it's going to be until Hamas is totally wiped out or they surrender. But I do believe you're going to see a major change in Gaza. And again, this whole peace now being developed around that area, which the Bible says will be in place when Russia and Iran come in to attack the land of Israel. Now, also, and Greg, this is one, this just in, so to speak.
Okay.
Now, we talked about just in the last few days, maybe even last week, we talked about the B-52 bombers that were that America was moving closer over there to the Middle East. And we talked about... It was the B-52s
I know they moved another aircraft carrier group, the USS Vinson, I think it was.
Yes.
Over there. Since we last spoke, they've moved B-2 bombers over to Diego Garcia, which is in the Indian Ocean.
That's not the B-52.
The B-2.
The B-2, that's right.
But that
right.
doesn't
Thank
mean
you.
That there isn't B-52s over there somewhere.
Well, the B-2s are the ones they're showing on the news right now.
Yes, and those are the ones that are the stealth bombers.
Yeah, the cool-looking ones.
Yes, they're really cool. The swept wing back, they're just like, they have like a big boomerang with bombs on it.
It's like the Batman plane.
It's like a Batman plane.
Batwing. Yeah, anyway.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting. The news, they're moving all those over there. They're getting things set up over there. And now this week, and today, because I've been looking at news, kind of glancing already, but I think it was just today when I saw it. They're now saying, and we mentioned last week, that we thought we were within about six, they were getting close to six nuclear weapons, the ability to, with the weapons grade uranium that they had.
Yes.
Well, now they're saying they believe they're going to have their first assembled nuclear weapon within a week.
Mm.
And listen, guys, that's a big deal. That doesn't mean that America and Israel has to strike within a week. But don't be shocked if before our next radio broadcast, we haven't had some major, major action in Iran. It wouldn't surprise me to see a major bombing campaign that's going to be over the nuclear sites, but intense, one after another, because they've got to go real deep to get down to the bunker. Even the bunker busters don't go deep enough. So it's going to have to be a thing where bunker buster, you have to make the hole and keep making the hole deeper. And I think you're going to see just bombing raids and boom, 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 and some real action, which is going to stir the world. It's going to stir Iran, but now we have to move. We can't allow them to get a bomb. The world can't allow them to get a bomb. And so, you know, you always wonder, are any of these things what would cause them and force them to make their move? I don't know. You just don't know. I was going to say probably not, but Greg, this could be a catalyst toward that Ezekiel battle. We'll have to watch and see.
Yeah, I don't know what analogy to use. I'm kind of thinking of an octopus with tentacles. In Iran being the octopus and the tentacles being Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis and whatnot.
They're all tied.
And the Hamas has been sent for all intended purposes has been neutralized to the point where they can't operate the way Iran has always had them operate.
Right.
Hezbollah the same way.
Yeah.
The Houthis are getting attacked.
Yeah.
So basically you're almost backing Iran into a military corner,
they
so
are.
To speak.
They are. And you can see the dominoes falling against everybody. They're all starting to kind of, you're starting to see it crumble more week by week.
So does Iran make a military move in an act of desperation?
See, that's what I'm wondering.
Or do cooler heads prevail in all of this? It could go either way. We'll find out within a week's time.
Yeah, and there's pride issues there. You never know what they're going to do, and we'll just have to kind of wait and see. But it's interesting to watch just this whole... Another thing, Greg, that's interesting, whether or not it's like for PR and it's fake, that Hamas, the people of Gaza, groups of them, large crowds are marching now in Gaza. I don't know if you've seen that, against Hamas.
And Amir Sephardi says that that's got to be fake.
Yeah, which again, it probably is. It's probably an ingenious, and I say ingenious, maybe a semi-smart PR campaign, because if they're still bombing and the people are saying, we hate Hamas, then it'll bring more pressure on Israel to say, you're bombing nice people. They don't want the war.
Exactly.
So there's PR going on.
Yes.
But still, the irony here, note this. They're marching in Hamas, or they're marching in Gaza against Hamas, and they're marching on the American campuses for Hamas.
Yes.
Oh, in the Middle East, where they are, they're marching against Hamas. In America, they're marching for Hamas.
Can't they get themselves coordinated?
I'm thinking, hey, guys, somebody's got to figure out who are you for, who you're not for. And so, again, it probably is just a PR move. But either way, I find it very, very interesting. And so, we'll keep you posted as we see these things come in. But I wanted to give kind of a Middle East update there as to what's happening. So.
All right, we do have one Israel article this week, not related to what you just shared. This is from All Israel News, dated March 26th. Top Israeli cyber official notes a 300% increase in Iranian and Hezbollah attacks since the October 7th massacre. So on the digital front, the ether front, they're also attacking Israel.
Yeah, I mean, they'll attack, you know, anyway, ether or. I mean, yes, doesn't matter. Or.
That's right. Very good.
But again, this is interesting, Greg, because even before we get into the article, you know, I wasn't even thinking about this type of warfare. I know it's there. My mind is always on the bombs, on the missiles, on this kind of thing. But I mean, when you look at this, they're coming in from all different angles, and I don't remember seeing a percentage of any of the articles we've ever done that talks about the cyber attacks increasing. So I found this very intriguing. Listen to what it says. The last year, rather, was not a normal year, but a challenging and unique one, Amar announced at the Cybertech 2025 conference in Tel Aviv. Ever since the war broke out, we have observed a major amplification in the scope of Iran and Hezbollah's malicious activity targeting Israeli entities. The Israeli cyber conference attracted cyber experts, government and company representatives from over 50 different countries. Although hacking attacks have surged dramatically, Amar emphasized that Israel's enemies have not been successful in preventing Israel from protecting itself. So you're seeing these attacks coming like crazy, but Israel has enough technology and a firewall to keep them from having right now any major effects. He says, despite our enemy's efforts, not a single attack targeting an Israeli entity was able to harm neither our national infrastructure nor the IDF operational freedom to fulfill its mission since October 7th. That's a pretty big boast. I mean, even things in America get hacked. But again, for our listeners' sake, in case you don't know, Israel leads the world in technology. A lot of people don't know that. But some of the greatest world's technology comes out of Israel. The iPhone came out of Israel. I mean, that's what Israel made Apple, you know, wealthy. However, he revealed that Israel had faced an unprecedented, here it is, 300% increase in phishing attacks intended to exploit information, the Internet of Things, devices, and disrupt the daily life of Israeli citizens. The top cyber official revealed that since October 7th terror attack, Israel has boosted its defense systems with the implementation of a cyber dome program. You know, they have the Iron Dome that protects them from missiles. Well, now they have a cyber dome that protects them in the internet, and they're doing a great job. You know, we, Greg, here in the States, we're very vulnerable. I mean, I wonder, why haven't we been hit more in our electrical grids, in our water supplies? I think the enemy could do it because we have some older infrastructure that needs to be changed.
You think God's just protecting us?
Well, okay, you know what? I wasn't thinking that, but that's a great point. Yes, because we're standing with Israel, I could see that God also helping us to protect us. But my line of thought, apart from that, my line of thought has been they're just waiting till the right moment when they can move and do more damage. Like, you know, if they're really going to move on our nation and try to cripple us, what a great way to go at all at once. Cripple the water systems, cripple the electrical grid, just cripple everything. Then militarily, maybe at the same time, make a move. I'm not saying they're going to, but I'm saying I wonder if they're waiting on that kind of opportunity.
Well, or also, the timing of everything was not, they were planning on the mass deportation efforts that this government is taken underway. And you've got to wonder how many of these sleeper cells have been disrupted now.
Yeah, you really do.
Because of the mass deportation efforts of people that they know are known criminals. As a matter of fact, a lot of these people, especially from El Salvador, that they're finding out that they were already convicted and thrown out of the country and got back in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But Greg, some of them now, this is interesting because they now are telling them, if you self-deport.
Deport, yes.
Then you can come back if you do it the right way. But if you don't self-deport and we catch you, you can never come to America even if you do it the right way.
Right.
That's a big incentive to go on home.
Yes.
If you were like saying, you're kind of like a illegal on the up and up, if you can be. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
That's an oxymoron, isn't it?
It is kind of, yeah. But maybe one that, you know you're breaking the law, but you're not really like Tren de Aragua, okay?
Right.
That would be a motivation to say, look, let's go on home. Let's go back in and do this right, because if they pick us up and take us out, we can never come back to America.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. But also with this prison that they're sending them to. Have you seen any of the
pictures from El Salvador?
Yeah, have you seen
Christy Noem was down there, wasn't she, just recently?
This thing is a nightmare. You go in for life, and you have like 40, 50 people in one room. Your bunk beds have no covers, no pillows, nothing.
Yeah.
You live there forever.
And I got to wonder, did they set that up just for our benefit?
No, they didn't. I'll tell you
why. Okay.
No, I didn't. Here's
okay,
why.
Okay.
Before all this happened, a couple of years ago, I saw a whole documentary, not a full thing, but a section about that prison.
Oh, okay.
And it was all the same. And here's what they did. Get this. That's where they were putting Tren de Aragua, right? And they said, here's how we do it. It's the same thing. Then they opened it up and let them come to America. That's why the president's going crazy saying,
yes,
you emptied your worst prison. You let them all come here, and now they're here. So now those planes that went back that the judge tried to stop, and thank God he wasn't able to, that God didn't let him.
Yeah.
It was filled with a lot of those guys that had already come up and from Tren de Aragua. So they're trying to catch them all over the nation before they do their horrible things here.
Oh, my word, which they've already done.
But with that said, here's my point. If they catch you here and you get sent to that prison— And not the normal people wouldn't be sent to that prison, but if you're a criminal, and even if you're not Tren de Aragua, and they send you there, you might be there for life in this, they call it hell on earth. It's like unbelievably horrible. Living with the worst people on the planet all around you that you're always fighting and you may die from, just that. Then the miserable conditions of knowing you'll never get out, the 23 hours a day, I think they're in a cell.
Yeah.
All they're together.
Yeah.
And then the bunk beds have no covers, no sheets, no pillows. You just have your, it's like, it is like misery.
Misery.
And they say it's, extremely hot. I mean, it's like a precursor. It's like the foyer of hell,
Right.
And so when you see that kind of stuff, I mean, I'm thinking, if that's me, let's get out of here and come back the right way, or at least get out of here so they don't send me there. So it's probably going to be a very effective way to get a lot of people to self-deport.
Yeah. Well, and let's hope, whether, God is honoring, Genesis 12:3 and how we're blessing Israel, protecting us from cyber attacks or protecting us in other ways that we don't even know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Are we ready for the next
one? We're ready. We're ready. Yep.
Fantastic.
Let's move on.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Money.
All right, One World Economy News. We've got one article this week. It comes from Yahoo.com, dated March 25th. Sleepwalking into a cashless society.
Wasn't that Cashless in Seattle? Wasn't that a movie?
No, Pastor Mark, I think that was Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, the sleepwalking thing.
Yes. So it's not cashless in Seattle. It's sleepless in Seattle.
And I when I first see these, I've mentioned this before, but I've been cashless almost my whole life. Yeah. So I kind of entered the cashless.
See, you're a forerunner.
I am.
You're a pioneer into the cashless society.
I led the way. Not knowingly, but I led the way into a cashless. And
you were part of prophecy and didn't even know it.
Well, Greg, the crazy thing to me, we're going to read this and see how cash is already disappearing, but I am very much a cash guy. I like cash.
You are.
I do not like to use credit cards. I do not like to. I want cash. If it's coming to you, I buying a coffee. How in the world do you put, I started to say $3 in something, but you can't. How do you put $7, $8 on a credit card? And I'm just like, it's so expensive now. Maybe it's justified more, but I really, I like cash. I like to use cash, and I've been in places where they don't take cash, and I'm like, man, I can't even get anything because I'm going to use cash. But notice this: Philip Lane, chief economist of the European Central Bank, recently expressed urgency for the need to develop a digital euro, also known as a central bank digital currency, to compete against stable coins such as Tether and electronic payment systems developed by the U.S. Tech firms such as Google Pay and Apple Pay. No content with eliminating cash, or not content with eliminating cash. I'm sorry, I need to slow down and pay attention. Now the goal of central banks is to eliminate any competing electronic payment system. So all the way, get rid of it. We're sleepwalking into a world with digital currencies without any government coercion whatsoever. As a 51-year-old Generation Xer, the article says, I carry lots of cash in my wallet. And again, I do too. I teach personal finance at the local unit. Well, I don't carry a lot of cash in my wallet, so don't look for me and jump me, but I get the point here.
Thanks for clarifying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, people say, yo, find that guy. I don't have a lot of cash to carry in my wallet. But anyway, I teach.
One of your bodyguards actually has the cash.
Yeah, why did they jump? Mark when he left the studio? I teach personal finance at the local university and recently asked a class of about 30 students if any of them had any cash. Now, listen to this. This blows my mind. I get it's the new generation, but not one of them had a single dollar bill or coin in the whole 30 in the classroom.
Not even a quarter for when you go to Aldi to get the
buggy? About that. How do you do that? Think about it, Greg. Not one. I'm talking not a coin, not a dollar bill. Get this. They use debit cards, credit cards, Venmo, Apple Pay. And as it turns out, cash usage among 18 to 24 age cohorts has declined from 28% to 13% over the last 5 years.
I would believe that, yeah.
Most like the convenience of electronic payments, yep. I get that. Even though studies show that people spend, here's the reason I don't do it. People spend 12 to 18% more
when they do it
when using credit cards
yep.
than using cash.
Yep.
In other words, if you use credit cards and do credit stuff, you're going to spend more money. If the government, he says, does not attempt to implement a digital dollar, there will be little to resist it. So it's happening naturally without even the government coming in and pulling this big lever. And Greg, again,
it's consumer driven.
Yeah, you're right. And here's the thing. It's also biblically driven. The Bible says this is going to happen. They're going to, again, Revelation 13, at some point, everyone will take a mark on the hand or the forehead, and then that's how you do your transactions. We know we're heading that way. Again, I was hearing just today again on another podcast about Elon Musk, everyone's favorite Muscovite, these days. And of course, one side likes him, one side hates him. But they were saying he's now got the implementation of a chip and a mark by the machine that he has down to a science where he said people can sit down and just in a matter of moments, it puts the chip in there and you leave when you're done. And there, I guess people have already kind of experimented or he's done it on whatever's on dummies. I don't know. Of course you'd be a dummy to do that, but I'm just kidding. Anyway, the bottom line is that's what we're headed towards, something like that.
Yeah.
The technology's in place and I have to admit.
And we're racing towards it.
Listen, as much as I like cash, I have to admit the idea of being able to just scan your hand at the grocery store or scan your hand at the theater, or scan your hand. There's such a convenience to that. Look, I don't carry my wallet today with me unless I have to, just because when I sit down, it bothers me in my back pocket.
Yeah.
So when you think about not having to even carry anything with you, it is amazing. It's going to be ingenious, and crime will drop because how do you rob somebody? The reason I don't like it is multifold. Like I said, you do spend more money. You'll buy stuff that, because if you don't see the money, it's easy to spend money you don't see.
Yeah.
Like our government. But
well, that used to be the case.
Yes. Yeah. But the thing about that is that also, you know, everything you purchase, the government knows.
Right.
I don't like that.
Well, and
it's not to evade taxes. I pay my taxes.
No, but to that effect, Pastor Mark, the credit card companies, any credit card that you use, you know, they know exactly what you purchased. So the information's actually already there if you're purchasing digitally in any form.
It is, but I'm saying what the government, here's where I have a problem. These are going to be direct lines to government agencies. And for example, if they put limits on how many miles you can drive and you want to take, say, a Harley ride down to Florida.
Right.
I have no guy that likes that.
Yes.
If they happen to take a Harley ride and you don't have enough miles to get there and back, you can't do it if there's no cash. You can't do it because you couldn't go and you can't use your, and they say, sorry, you've been shut off. So you're on the side of the road somewhere on the interstate on your empty Harley.
But that's going to be post-rapture, Pastor Mark.
I hope so.
Please be encouraged.
But here's the thing. I know, but I realize that, you know, but I still, it's like, I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm joking about the Harley thing to some degree. And I know there, as sad as this is, I know there won't be, and you know the answer is, Greg, I know there won't be Harleys in heaven. You know that,
I know,
right?
Because
hogs aren't kosher.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but at the same way, either way, I don't mean to offend our Harley riders out there, but I look at that. It's so intrusive.
Yeah.
It's so intrusive. It's saying if you bought too many candy bars, you can't buy another one or a soft drink.
Right.
It's amazing. They want to legalize marijuana, but you can't get a large Coke. I mean, we are so inverted and perverted in our society today. And once this goes cashless, I mean, they literally, Greg, have control. And they've even said, if politically they don't like you, let's say they decided that everybody that followed Donald Trump or everybody that followed the next Democrat leader, whoever's in power, if they decide that group is a terrorist group or you guys are bad news for the nation, they can shut your financials off on everything. Your food, your gas, everything can be shut off with the click of a switch if they have that kind of control. This is devastating. Everything that we can do until the rapture needs to be done to stop it from becoming a cashless society, because who's ever in power can do to whoever what they want to do.
Now, what about checks, Pastor Mark? Because, you know, you're always in the grocery store line getting held up by someone who is writing a check in front of you to pay for their groceries.
Yes.
So are they going to eliminate that as well?
Well, they're giving, I think they're giving government-issued blowtorches for anybody that has one, and you can just burn it right there and then just have them figure something else out.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what they said their plan was.
So you better hide your checkbook.
That's right. That's right. Yeah,
Or you only use it when you go to the grocery store?
No, I don't use the checkbook.
Oh, okay.
I do. I just pay cash.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I mean, that's just what I do. I have cash, and I don't carry a lot of cash on me. I want to clarify that again. I keep the cash at home, and I don't have a lot even at home, but I just take what I need and I go buy what I want to buy. I mean, sometimes you go to even coffee shops today. You go up and you hand them money, and they take it. And everybody's fine around here, but I'm telling you, when you travel now that I travel, if you do missions or you go on a trip, sometimes I'm like, you know, we don't take cash. I'm like, well,
yeah.
How do
people survive?
How do people survive that carry anything but cash? Yeah. So they're forcing basically us into a cashless society, and we're going to have to play along. So here it goes.
Well, that's Pastor Mark, who's helping us understand how he spends his money and how we understand the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAM-LP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that has never been transmitted on the Signal app. We just want you to know that.
Yes.
But will become podcast episode number 356, available to subscribe and listen to wherever you get your podcasts. And now,
you've got mail.
Pastor Mark, we've got a question this week. It is not a prophecy question, but it's still a good question. And it's a societal question for the times that we live in. I'm sure you can extrapolate this prophetically.
Yes. Yes.
And this comes to us from Phyllis, who enjoys Signs of the Times south of us in Maryville. And she says, when The Chosen first came out, I started watching it and soon discovered it was not what people should watch if they want to know God. My mouth fell open when I heard some of the actors' lines. Should a Christian church be promoting this series, even showing it in the church hall?
Yeah, this is a great question. I kind of want to use this as a springboard to talk about the new House of David series that's out there as well. And let me just say, Phyllis, first of all, I have not seen The Chosen, so I can't comment. I only saw one or two episodes, maybe three or so.
I think the Mormons produce it.
Do they not?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's connected to that or whatever.
Okay.
So I've seen, and maybe I've seen more. I saw it at the first. I started watching a few of them. So maybe I've seen more than two or three. I don't remember how many I've seen, but I saw just a few of them. And my problem is, as a pastor, if it's not biblically accurate,
who's already read the Bible,
I just can't, I can't get into it. I'm not, now not knowing what's in it, I wouldn't condemn anybody for watching it. So you're saying it's not good, but I can't verify that. Honestly, Phyllis, I haven't seen it. So I can't verify that it's not something that no one should watch. So I'm going to stay away from that question. And I want to answer something else in your question. And that is this. Since I really haven't seen it except the first few episodes, I quit watching it only because of certain things that I go, okay, that's just not biblically accurate. And what I saw up to that point was not heresy. It just was like,
taking theatrical license, embellishing, things for theater purpose.
Well, they had a scene where Jesus was almost really getting counsel from John the Baptist.
Oh, really?
And I was like, okay, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
I'm done. So it wasn't like it was heretical conversation that were happening, but like Jesus would never have gotten counsel from anyone. He is the great counselor. He's the Lord. So what it showed me is that they call it theatrical license. And they go in and they'll take a story and then they kind of add their own flavor to it. The problem is when you do that with the Bible, you got to be very careful. I'm not saying you can't do that with making a movie about the Bible. I won't go that far, but I'll say you want to make sure that you don't ever do anything that changes the Bible or is heretical or I think that's a serious deal. You want to be as accurate as you can to the Bible and the Word of God. And so for me, I don't even know. I didn't finish watching it, so I can't make a comment about the whether or not you should watch it or not. But at the same time, I've started watching this House of David, and it's the same thing. I've enjoyed the first few ones I've seen, and the problem is, once again, you know, I'm trying not to be a pastor as critical when I see it, but, and I haven't gotten to the last, you know, episode of the season yet, but they showed the trailer of the last episode, and you see David rushing Goliath, and Goliath throws a spear, and they don't really let you see what happens, but somehow the spear hits him in such a way, or grazes him, or does something, that it knocks David to the ground, and he's laying there, you know, kind of like, you know, Rocky, get up, come on, don't let Apollo win, you know.
And he's separated there, from his sling and his stones.
Yeah, they're
or
laying
something.
There next to him, and okay. He's kind of like out of it with his eyes closed. You're wondering, is he going to wake up before Goliath comes and crushes him? And I know they're doing it for drama,
yes,
and dramatic effect, but that's just patently false. I mean, all he did was take the sling, he went there and threw it, he knocked him in the head, knocked him unconscious, whatever, got his sword and cut his head off and killed him. So, again, I want to repeat this. I'm not saying there can't be any theatrical license, you know, if we don't know all the details in a Christian movie. I have no problem with that. Where I have problem is where they start messing with things that we know for a fact very specifically, and they change it.
Doctrine.
Yeah. So with all that said, here's what I would say. For whatever series you're seeing on the Bible or whatever movie, and there's nothing wrong with a lot of great ones out there, and I've seen a bunch of them. And
be a Berean.
Yeah, like I said, I haven't had a problem with some of them that have taken some theatrical license. I have no issue with that. It's just that you have to be careful around some of the major doctrinal issues that they change. And you have to know your Bible, be a Berean, as you said, Greg, where Paul talks about, you know, make sure you know your Bible when you do that. But here's the blanket statement that doesn't really answer your question, Phyllis, because I can't answer it. Since I've not seen The Chosen, I can't answer your question as to whether or not a church should be showing it or not. Let me just say that. But with that said, whenever you see a Bible series or movie, just realize is it going to be biblically accurate, or is it going to be how much license is there, and be prepared for that. And if it's something that's false, then stay away from it. And if it's something that's not really false, but nobody really knows, like when you know, say Jesus is in Capernaum and some guy walks up and says something to him that the Bible didn't say about, well, okay, that's all right. As long as he's not adding to scripture, taking away. A lot of people talk to him the Bible doesn't tell us about, if you follow my point. But I would look at these as not to be taken as Bible, because I think it can mislead people. If you watch these programs and think this is really how it happened exactly, and this is really what they said, you can be mistaken as to what the Bible really said and what happened.
Yeah, so if you've got people that equate those movies to the Bible, and yes, they themselves have not read the Bible,
yes,
then they take that as the gospel message.
Exactly, and so you can get a wrong picture, yes, of who Jesus is, or a wrong picture of some event that took place. So that's the thing I would caution on, Phyllis, on any of these kind of things. But let me say this. It's like when you come down to translations and thought-for-thought versions. And let me explain that. A translation is when you take the actual ancient Hebrew and Greek, and you take those words and you translate them into English, and now you have a translation of the Bible from the ancient Hebrew and Greek. There are some versions out there that are not translations. They are thought-for-thought transmissions or changes. So, for example, it wouldn't say the exact words that God used to say, and David took 5 smooth stones and put, you know, and headed toward Goliath. Okay, there's an example. If in exact, it would say that. If you had a thought-for-thought Bible, like the NIV is a thought-for-thought Bible, okay? So if you take a thought-for-thought Bible, that it isn't really a translation. People think the NIV is a translation. It's not.
It's not.
Yeah. It's no, it does. You're not going to go be able to do a word study in the NIV and see exactly what God said. You're just getting what this person read it, the guys that put it together. They took their thoughts. Here's how I think this would best be written in English. And they write it out. So the problem with that is, and I'm not condemning the use of, you know, in certain cases of reading a verse out of the NIV or a translation, or maybe you're a young Christian and something that reads easier. I've seen people do that. I don't want to get into that subject. But I'm simply saying you can't look at the NIV as a translation. So you can't really say this is exactly what God said, because it's not. So look at these movies. I call them kind of the NIV version of the Bible on film. The NIV version of The Chosen. It's the NIV version of maybe what happened with Jesus when he walked on the earth. The House of David. It's kind of the NIV version of, you know, maybe some of this happened. Obviously, some of it didn't. Goliath did not knock David down. So that's how I'd use caution. I would just say, in all these things, take them to the Word of God. Make sure that you can separate out what's really biblical and what's just from Hollywood. And if you can do that and enjoy it, then I would say there's no problem in that. Enjoy it. The danger comes in when it is seen as the Bible, treated as the Bible, and understood as the Bible. That would be the caution I would give.
Yeah. And also, too, Pastor Mark, I just looked up the episode that you were talking about on The Chosen, where John the Baptist was offering Jesus counsel. And as it turns out, and I can understand why you were upset, Jesus wanted to spend cash in the marketplace, and John was telling him to get with the times and use the Caesar's mark on your hand or your forehead.
Yeah, so. Can you imagine today if the Lord said, show me a coin?
Because yes.
Lord, we haveth none. Okay, show me thou thy credit card. Pull out thy Venmo.
Yes, my Venmo.
Anyway.
My Apple Pay.
Yes, there you go.
All right, as we look at growing anti-Semitism for this week, we land on an article from All Israel News dated March 26th. Many of you have heard of this organization. Some of you haven't. It's called Jews for Jesus. And they had an office in Paris, and it was defaced with anti-Semitic graffiti. And my question is that what are they still even doing there for all of the stuff that's happened that we've chronicled over the years in Paris and in France because of the Islamic insurgency?
Well, fair question, but think about World War II. Why did they stay in Germany and these other places when
it was
becoming very obvious we're in big trouble? They just didn't think it would really get
to that point.
Bad. Yes.
Yeah.
So, and it's their home, and then, you know what, we'll ride this out. It's going to be some persecution, but we'll be okay. They didn't know they were going to round them up and try to kill them all. I think the same thing. Remember, this thing, we're going to read about what happened here and the pressure turning on the Jews, but remember the whole prophetic picture of this as to why we include an article like this. That is, God is allowing these things, and Satan is doing it, to bring pressure on the Jews worldwide to drive them back to Israel. I believe when you see this stuff, it is going to drive Jews back to Israel. Now, in all fairness, Jews for Jesus have a different motive. Theirs isn't so much to be driven back to Israel as to reach the Jews that are out scattered out throughout the world.
For Jesus.
Yeah, so they're in a little bit different category. But the persecution you're seeing, I believe, is God is allowing to drive them back. And France is really getting weird. Macron is just, I mean, it's... You know, there's actually, and of course, we don't know the Antichrist, and we won't know him. We shouldn't be looking for him, but some even think Macron's the Antichrist. I'm like, no, he's not the Antichrist. But either way, that's how bad it's getting in France. The Jews for Jesus office in Paris, France, was defaced by anti-Semitic images this week. This act of vandalism joins a slew of others carried out against Jews or Jewish organizations in France. Again, there's a problem in France, guys. As you said, the Islamic invasion. Evidence of the alarming rise of anti-Semitism. Remember, we're seeing it go up everywhere in the country. The spray-painted image was not only degrading and demeaning to Jews worldwide, but also a blatant destruction of property. Police were called on Tuesday morning to launch a formal complaint and collect evidence. The attack was discovered when the director of the French chapter of Jews for Jesus, along with another colleague, arrived to meet with a Jewish woman seeking answers about the Messiah. The National Council of Evangelicals of France issued a strong statement in response to the attack and asked for prayer not only for their team, but for all the Jews in France. And I quote, "This morning, we invite all Christians to pray against the climate of hatred that exists today in France." You know about climate change.
So there's climate change right there.
There is Jewish climate change all over the world in hatred of the Jews. And you know, Greg, it's interesting, and I want to go on with the article, but I want to make this comment. Our Jewish friends here in Knoxville, we've been standing with them for a long time and all this mess that's been going on and opposition here and just supporting them. The Christians that have now been getting killed in Syria and all that mess over there, now they're online supporting us. They're supporting. They're saying, stand with the Christians, pray for the Christians over this. It's kind of neat to see this happening. The article goes on, despite the growing hatred, our team in Paris remains faithful to the mission to share the gospel with faith and determination. Please pray that we may be strengthened and protected in this difficult context and that more Jewish people may discover peace in Jesus. Even Jews who believe in Jesus are not exempt, it says, from the alarming surge of anti-Semitic violence that's sweeping France, where reports such incidents have risen. Notice this. It's risen over there by 1,000% in last year alone. I mean, think about that. 10 times, right? 100% is unreal. Largely triggered by the Hamas invasion and the attack on Gaza and the communities after October 7th. Again, I look at that and go, now that just shows you how demonic it is. You would think After October 7th, the world rallied around the Jews. Anti-Semitism went down.
Wouldn't you think?
And everybody said, poor Jews, we need to stand with them. No, the opposite. And that's why you know it is a spiritual battle. It makes no logical sense. Rather than the world standing with them like they should, they're getting more aggressive against them. It is led by Satan himself. This past weekend, Rabbi Ari Engelberg from Orleans, France, was kicked, punched, and bitten by a Palestinian youth while returning home from synagogue with his 9-year-old son. Mm. So, you know, it's you're going to see, again, more and more of this. I just want to say to, and I doubt any Jewish people around the world are going to hear this, although the broadcast does go around the world, they're not going to be listening to us. But if they could hear it, go home. Go to Israel. Go back. They love you there. Find a place to live. Start your life there and flee from these places where you know the persecution is going to increase. But give your life to Jesus, because once you get there, if you don't know the Lord, when the Antichrist shows up, it's going to get really tough. So that's kind of a hard one. I want to see him go home. I know God's going to gather him. But if they don't give their life to the Lord, I know it's going to happen. So it breaks your heart on the other side. So it's a very, very interesting, tough situation for the Jewish people unless they come to Jesus.
All right, as we dive into some pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption, we actually started the show with one, the big earthquake out there in Thailand.
Yes.
The next article, though, comes from thehill.com, where we find a hospital study is revealing fungus labeled an urgent threat by the CDC is spreading rapidly.
Yeah, very interesting. Let me read some of this and comment on this. New cases of a dangerous drug-resistant fungus have been identified in the last two states. Hospital systems, at least two states, hospital systems, rather, sorry. Candida auris, also called C. auris, was first identified in the U.S. in 2016. Since then, the number of cases have increased every year, jumping substantially in 2023. Recently, cases have proliferated in Georgia. That's right next door to us, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
The state's health department told local news outlet WJCL. A study published this week, which focused on the Jackson Health System in Miami, also found cases of the fungus and seeing them rapidly increase. The CDC called Candida auris an urgent antimicrobial resistant threat because it's resistant to antifungal drugs, making it hard to treat an infection once it occurs. If you get infected, they say, with a pathogen that's resistant to any treatment, there's no treatment we can give you to help combat that. You're on your own. Melissa Nolan, an assistant professor of epidemiology and biostatistics at the University of South Carolina, told Nexstar. Listen to this right here. People with a healthy immune system may be able to fight off infection on their own, but Candida auris mainly spreads in healthcare settings where people are sick and vulnerable. Again, this is horrible to think about this. People with catheters, breathing tubes, feeding tubes, PICC lines, they're at the highest risk because it can enter the body.
Yep.
So it's sad the people that are the weakest are the ones getting attacked. Now, I want to make a call on this before we go on. I know we're running out of time and we have a few more articles to get to. But listen, there were virologists and people saying, look, when this whole thing happened where everybody was having to get the shots, he said, you should not be giving it, whether you agree with the shot or not, he said, it's not the issue. You should not be giving everybody in the world this shot at the same time. He said, if you really want to do it, give this country the shot, then wait, then give that country, and just kind of go around the world in segments. The reason being, he said, the way the human immune system works, if you give everyone the same thing and the body starts reacting the same way around the world, it creates an environment where it blocks certain things but opens doors to others. And so it actually creates new viruses. All the viruses mutate together at one time rather than having to jump from nation to nation and be killed and try to transfer. They all transfer at once.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is he said, you're going to create new things that the body can't fight. And when I saw this article, I said, you know what? I hope his prediction is not coming to pass. Because, again, this is exactly that type of scenario. Things popping up that the immune system cannot fight and the antibiotics don't fight. That's a scary scenario.
Yeah.
But, again, we don't live in fear. We trust God. But, again, I think we may have created some of this by doing a worldwide shot all at the same time.
Now, lest you think that wildfires are exclusive to our country, we submit to you the following article from Breitbart.com, dated March 26th, where we find massive South Korean wildfires have killed dozens and it has inflicted unprecedented damage.
Yes, I don't have a lot on this. I'm going to read just a little bit. But again, we talked about the earth groaning and these things are going to be happening around the globe with the fires. No, it's not just here. South Korea suffered more than a dozen major wildfires over the weekend. The fires killed 24 people, forced 27,000 rather to evacuate, and burned more than 17,000 hectares of land. Acting President Han Duck-soo said the fires continued to burn on Wednesday, causing unprecedented damage. Now, again, the reason this article in here, remember, you're going to be seeing these types of instances. So this is to broaden your horizon, to open your eyes to larger things, and to realize, don't just be myopic on your state, your nation. Be looking around the world for these things to happen, because when worldwide contractions begin to take place, you're going to see, again, at the same time around the world, a lot of disruption, and you need to learn to recognize that as a prophecy observer.
Now, Pastor Mark, let's fast forward to the time of the judgment in the Great Tribulation.
Yes.
And isn't a third of the skies going to be darkened?
Yes.
And so you got to wonder, it doesn't really tell us for what reason they're darkened.
Right.
But this could be a reason, could it not?
Yes, it's toward the end. Yes. Before the Lord
or
comes back.
Or volcanic activity.
I believe it's going to be a combo.
Combo.
I think you're going to see fires. I think you're going to see volcanoes and filling the atmosphere. I think you're going to see maybe even plumes of dust from warfare because of so many bombs going off. I think you're going to see a combo. But again, it's going to block the sun and the moon, and it's going to be a mess. But yes, you know, it's interesting. You're going to see these kind of things getting worse and worse until the Lord comes back, takes it over, and restores it all.
We go to the Christian Post for an article dated March 25th. Maybe this could be under good news. I don't know. You'll have to tell us, Pastor Mark. Christians in the U.S. are more pro-Israel and less anti-Semitic than those in the U.K.
It really is actually explainable. And yes, okay. It is good news to a degree, because that means, you know, it's always been, we always talked about California leads in evil in America than it comes toward this direction, right?
Yeah.
And not that everything in California is evil, but a lot of the bad stuff comes out of there and comes our way, whether it be laws or actions or whatever else, and attitudes, morals, et cetera. The same thing is true when it comes to Europe and in the UK. You'll see that they're leading the way either in immorality or something that's not good, and then it comes to America. And so now they're not good, turning against the Jews and anti-Semitism, and to see us standing. So we still have more light here than they have over there. And that's a good thing. British Christians, it says, were less likely to have a high opinion of Jews or express support for Israel compared to their American counterparts, according to a new study backed by the ministry that evangelizes to Jewish communities and analyzes anti-Semitism among Christians. Mitch Glazer, a Messianic Jew, which is interesting because we already talked about Jews for Jesus. Here's another one. And the president of Chosen People Ministries expressed concern about anti-Semitic views among some Christians, which he warned makes it harder to share the gospel with Jewish people. An interview with the Christian Post, Glazer said in that interview that he's experienced many things covered in the survey Chosen People Ministries released earlier this month. As someone who was born into a nominally Orthodox Jewish home and later accepted Jesus as Savior, Glazer wants to help Christians build better relationships with Jewish people. I didn't realize Glazer was a Jewish name. You know, when I first got saved,
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, when I first got saved, I house sat for a country musician called Jim Glazer. He was, remember that song, Down in the West Texas Town of El Paso?
Yes.
He was the backup singer.
Okay.
In that song.
Wow.
And so, again, it's kind of like, you know, he knew a cousin, a guy either. that one time drank a Coke next to somebody in a restaurant that was famous.
But but those are fun stories anyway.
He did have one song called Man in the Mirror that did kind of get on the charts. And so if you can look that up, it wasn't a bad song. Anyway, I didn't realize he was Jewish. So interesting.
Wow.
But Glazer, who has spoken at Southern Baptist seminaries and colleges, said the issue of anti-Semitism is very personal to him, adding that it hurts when Christians express anti-Semitic views. And that's key here, Christians.
When Christians, yeah.
Studies,
should know better.
Well, and there's a problem with that here, you know, as well. Studies surveyed more than 2,000 people who identified as Christian in the U.S. and the United Kingdom using statistical modeling to analyze data across all ages, ethnicities, genders, income levels, and educational backgrounds, including marital status. According to the data, here it is, 58.5% of American Christians have a favorable view of Jews compared to 50.6 of British Christians. So half of those in Britain, and really just on another, you know, 8% of Americans,
we're not that much far
ahead of them.
Yeah.
And really, Greg, this is intriguing.
It should be 100%.
Well, it makes me sad because, again, it just shows the Bible's not being taught in its entirety, because if you don't stand with Israel, that tells me you don't really understand your Bible. And there are people that claim, they're these theologians, and they say, here's why we shouldn't stand with Israel. No, the Bible is so clear. God gave an unconditional, eternal promise to the nation of Israel in Genesis 15 when he walked through the parts alone in what they call the Abrahamic covenant, but it was really God's covenant. And so, again, that's a whole other side note, but they should know better. Researchers also found that fewer than a quarter of British Christians, 23.6%, supported Israel, compared to 42.3% of American Christians. However, 27.6% of American Christians and 37.3% of British Christians said they support neither. So, again, I'm thankful that we're ahead of them. I think we're thankful that we're doing better than them. But, I mean, really, among the church, it should be 100% support for Israel. I don't get it.
All right, let's end our episode with some good news coming to us from crosswalk.com, dated March 21st. Colorado's, this is the University of Colorado's,
yeah,
not the state, but the university.
Yes.
Coach Deion Sanders continues sharing his faith with the team despite legal pressure.
Yeah, I didn't know that Deion, that the show, you know, Showtime.
Prime.
Yeah, not Showtime, Primetime.
Primetime.
I didn't realize he was a Christian. That's a long pause.
Yeah,
you're going to say something, but you're...
No. I think there's elements and things there. I don't know where I'm at with that.
I see. Okay, so we're saying he's claiming that, and you're wondering maybe.
No, you know. I'm not discounting it, but maybe just a level of maybe maturity.
Okay, I get that. Either way, he's definitely making a vocal stand.
Yes.
And a physical stand, facing legal threats from the Freedom of Religion Foundation, Colorado head coach. Colorado, of course, a very corrupt state. Deion Sanders continues to share his faith with his football team. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, the Bible, it's freedom of religion, not freedom from religion in our founding documents. But they came up with something called freedom from religion, which is not in our founding documents, has written twice to the University of Colorado claiming that Sanders is violating the U.S. Constitution, nonsense, when he speaks about faith to his football team. The group's latest letter asserts, and I quote, using a coaching position to promote Christianity amounts to unconstitutional religious coercion. He cites a prayer from Pastor E. Dewey Smith of the House of Hope Church, who referenced Jesus, how dare he as a pastor do that, my goodness, and prayed in front of the players. Oh my goodness, he prayed in front of the players rather than doing a drag show? How corrupt could this man be? Thank you, and that in spite of our imperfections, you still bless us, Lord, he said. In an earlier speech to the team, he quoted scripture. Again, how dare you? How could you do something so wonderful in front of these people? And I quote, Coach Sanders needs to understand that he is hired to be a football coach, not to force student athletes to engage in his preferred religious practices. He's also called to be a leader for young men. He must cease infusing the football program with Christianity. Well, he's not going to, and good for him. We request notification in writing of the actions of the university that is taking to ensure that Coach Sanders will cease proselytizing students and athletes for good. Forget it.
Maybe he should have a pro-Hamas rally.
You know, they probably would love that. Sanders, though he continued to boldly express his faith, this month it was invited legendary actor Denzel Washington to talk to the team about life. Washington, who recently stepped into the ministry, discussed his faith. He spoke of the redemption he found in God. Now, it says he stepped in ministry. I don't know if he's a pastor now or if he's always been vocal for the Lord. I'm curious about that statement. But anyway, last fall, Sanders said he would not back down. Good for him. Listen to this quote. This is a good way to end with good news today.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel. Good for him. That's what my Bible tells me, Sanders said then. And I'm going to proclaim my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, wherever I want to. Ain't nobody going to tell me not to give love and respect to my Lord and Savior that has blessed me and has pulled me up from suicidal thoughts and a multiplicity of things that you don't know. I love it. He's saying, hey, yeah, Jesus, I'm not ashamed of him. The Bible says if we're ashamed of the Lord down here, he'll be ashamed of us in heaven. And if we're not ashamed, he'll boldly proclaim us in heaven. I stand with you, Deion Sanders. That is good news. You're standing with Jesus Christ. And again, I want to make an appeal to all of us as believers, especially in the day we live in. We need to be bold about our faith. Don't be ashamed of your faith in the Lord. Some of you might be saying, you know what, but I'm afraid, I'm fearful. Here's the answer to that. Go to God and ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit. All of us have, most of us have fear. Maybe some don't, but most of us are fearful in sharing our faith. I pray every day, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And if you ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit every day and are open to it and receive it, the Bible says God will fill you with the Spirit. God will give you boldness. And we need that regular filling. God, you know, Greg, it says in Ephesians 5:18 that we're to be continually filled with the Spirit. That means it's something that we're to do on an ongoing basis. We receive the indwelling of the Spirit at salvation, but we get the empowering of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit after that. And guys, note this, God gives free refills. Don't be afraid to say, Lord, fill me up again. He has no problem with that, and he'll be happy to do it. And again, if you're lacking faith, and especially if you know you're walking into a situation where you're going to need that faith, pray for God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Say, God, I'm open. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me boldness, because remember, that's why the Spirit was given, is to be a comforter and also to be an empowerer so that we can live for Christ.
Pastor Mark, thank you so much for ending on such an encouraging note, because we do need that encouragement and we do need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't forget our website, thewaymedia.net, for anything Signs of the Times related and other ways to keep you encouraged in your walk with Jesus, in your relationship with our Lord. And we hope to find you back here next Friday at 1:30 as we continue to discuss and learn the things happening in our world today and how they point to God's Word as signs of the times. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next Friday.